Hello, and welcome to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. I want to encourage you to go to my website, which is PastorVicsNuggets.com, for all of the videos, but also to be able to download the videos or download just the audio portion or to download the text portion for your own notes. But in any case, we've been examining the Great Exchange, those things which Jesus gave to us in place of the things that he's taken from us. The subject for today is God's peace. Jesus took our turmoil and confusion and gave us his peace. That's powerful. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, but as I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. And of course, what's important here is not only the word peace, but the distinction between the world's version of peace and, of course, the version that Jesus has. So the way the world presents peace is it's a picture of prosperity, importance, maybe celebrity. And so many things that give a person a sense of peace when other people are looking at him or her. But they never have the inner peace that only God can provide. Someone can look like they have peace on the outside, but all the while be in emotional and a turmoil and torment on the inside. Now, the peace that Jesus gives is so important in this life. And it's so important that I'm going to be breaking it up into two teachings. We're going to do one today and then one next week. So let's begin with part one, if you will, of peace. Now, the word peace in the New Testament means exactly what you think it would mean. Peace, according to Strong's Concordance, means to produce prosperity. But let me caution you here. Prosperity in the sense of a good journey in life. See, it's not just about finances. So be careful of the prosperity message. Yes, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have a good life, a good journey in this life. And it means much, much more than just money. But the word peace in the Bible means to be at one or to be quiet on the inside, or to use one of Jesus' favorite words, to be at rest. Now, the word peace is used in at least three important ways in the Bible. One way, of course, is the idea of a state of national tranquility. In other words, to be exempt from the havoc and the pain of war. So that's one meaning of the word peace. But the second use of the word peace in the Bible, of course, is the peace between individuals, producing harmony, security, safety, kindness. Because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. So of the Messiah's peace, the way that leads to peace in the sense of salvation. Now, of Christianity, the phrase peace in terms of Christianity is to be in that peaceful or tranquil state of the soul because we are confident of our salvation through Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we don't fear anything from God because God only has good for us. And we are content with our earthly lot, if you will, of whatever sort that might be. We're in a blessed state of being in a right position before God and knowing that we are in a right position and that heaven is ours. Now, when the scriptures talk about walking in darkness, it doesn't always mean doing evil deeds. Darkness also means that state of mind which is in ignorance or in deception. Ignorance in the sense of not knowing or being aware of knowing the truth. Now, of course, Jesus has said that he came to set us free, to set the captives free. And that's freedom from darkness, freedom from ignorance. The most important truth as a Christian is to know that we don't earn God's grace, nor do we deserve it. In Ephesians 2:8-9, we know that grace is a gift of God. And it is a gift to his sons and daughters. And as Christians, we are those very same sons and daughters. Remember, every good gift comes from above, the Father of lights. And light illuminates the darkness, just as truth illuminates ignorance. Now, God's grace is like a flow of living water, which is released by the Holy Spirit. We are the vessels through whom God desires to flow, His Spirit producing genuine life in us and through us. And the most important question for us is to know, how do we activate this grace, which is God's grace? Now, the same grace that produces salvation is the grace to live life with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What I've just described are often referred to as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is described in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And what's so important about that is that when we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the nature and the character of God. God the Holy Spirit. This is these characteristics, that's who the Holy Spirit is. And if His Holy Spirit is living in us, then those are the fruit, if you will, that we need to begin to learn how to demonstrate in our life. This grace is not released by our efforts to be good, although it's important to try and be good. To know what God expects of us and then to do it. I mean, that's the road to blessing. However, God's grace is released by one thing and one thing only, and that is by faith. Faith is simply believing what God has said and then trusting and obeying that He will fulfill it. Grace is the table of bounty that is available to all believers to take from. So faith is then simply reaching up and taking what has already been provided. Grace is first, then faith receives it. Grace is God's work, and faith is our work. Faith does not create grace. It simply makes what God has made available to us right now. And that's an important thing to understand. Faith is always now. In the exact same way salvation is provided through Jesus Christ, Jesus made salvation available. That's grace. And by faith we received it. Mark 11:24 states, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." That was Jesus speaking. You see, we have to learn how to walk in what has already been provided. Every other provision provided by God is obtained in exactly the same way, by faith. So it's really not by how good you are. I mean, let's face it, you know, how good is good enough? But by the fact that you are seeking His kingdom and His righteousness that enables us to have genuine faith in Him. So the question is not how good you are, but do you know Him? See, if you're in relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, He will transform you into being like Jesus in every way. You can't accomplish the work of the Holy Spirit by your own efforts alone. I know we really try, we should try to change. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't be trying to change. But we really can't change our character and nature. See, many confuse rehabilitation with transformation. What God wants to do in our lives is to transform us, not rehabilitate us. He wants to make us afresh, anew. We are new creations in Christ. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. Now, you may be familiar with rehabilitation programs, such as with people who have alcohol or drug addictions. And you know that many people will go into the program and they think they're straightened out and healed, and they leave and they start their old habits all over again. And I know that rehabilitation is useful, and I'm not trying to discourage someone from going in for rehabilitation if you have an alcohol or a drug problem. But if you have a God problem, then what God wants to do is transform you. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So rehabilitation, transformation. Rehabilitation is man's work. Transformation is God's work. And I just showed that in Romans 12:2. Rehabilitation is changing the outside of a person, hoping that it will change the inside. But transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside, in the heart of a person, that will change the outside behavior and character. The key to all change in Christ is the simple question, do you know him? Not simply know about him, but do you know him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do you talk to him? Does he talk to you? You see, that's what relationship is about. It's about communication. Now think about this. All the relationships you've had in your life, whether it be with your parents, your family, your friends, teachers, they all have contributed to making you who you are. In the same way, a relationship with Jesus will make you the person that God wants you to be. Now, if you can agree that all of the relationships in your life, those that have shaped you into the person you are today, then you can also probably agree that not all of those relationships have been healthy or beneficial. Along the way in life, there have been people and places and things that have caused you great pain and probably great sorrow and suffering. In life, we have all grown up with mistaken ideas about life and carry the scars of making some pretty bad decisions. Those bad decisions can often keep us from moving forward in the life that God has called us to. In a sense, they produce emotional scars that we try to keep hidden. And in the process of keeping them hidden, we can become dysfunctional. In other words, we operate in not a normal way. Now, some dysfunctions are minor and irritating, but other dysfunctions are major and can be crippling. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Here we go. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then 13 says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, what's Paul saying? Well, Paul is saying that our salvation or being saved requires us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he changes how we think and act. God's Holy Spirit is at work in us to will or to give us the desire to change and the strength to allow him to complete it. Philippians 1:6 says, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he, meaning God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, the bottom line is that if you don't have Jesus, you're not going to have peace. But if you do have Jesus, then peace is made available to you. No Jesus, no peace. But no Jesus, and you will know peace. That's all we have time for today, but as I promise, we'll continue this in our next post next week.